This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 214 for Friday, December 5th. It's really December already. 2014. Seriously, it's December already. It's 75 degrees where I am.
I hate you.
Yeah, I'm short.
We all hate you.
Oh, it's so hot outside. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Dickinson. Hot in Florida. Or am I hot or is it just hot?
I don't know.
That's open to interpretation, I think.
I guess.
I'm leaning towards the weather.
No, I don't know. That beard, it kind of does something for me.
That's it. Good show, everybody. See ya. How do we top that? So, yeah, we talk about Android and stuff. A little bit. I kind of got, it's not spring fever, I guess, but like end of the year itis. We got a lot of crap going on, but I've got to get into the podcast. Somebody take over. Really? Not everybody at once.
We all left.
We value your leadership skills.
I like how he says that, and he almost sounds like he means it. So, okay, fine. Let's start with Richard, I think. Richard actually did some work this week. You went down to London, didn't you?
I did.
What for, Richard? What for? Tell us.
To play with a Russian phone with two fronts.
You had a phone too.
That's the one. Better than the first.
I keep trying to, if you guys don't know what this is, it's like Android on one side, E-Ink on the other, which is also, you know, running Android, I guess. But I keep trying to find a reason to just be like, this is ridiculous, it's dumb, it's never, but it looks half decent this time.
Yeah, I mean, I never actually got around to playing with the first one, but just even from just immediately looking at the second one, it's so much, the hardware's so much nicer, there's not to say that they didn't put enough thought into the first one, but it looks like they're actually kind of serious about the product this time around. Yeah, they've got a store that they're opening in London as well to try and sell it, but to let people come in and play with, think like an Apple store kind of experience where you've just got like little tables and stuff dotted around and the stuff to just come in and play with. It's there till February, so if anybody's around and they want to go and look at one, feel free. But yeah, it's basically pure Android on the front and an E-Ink display on the back. Some people have referred to it as the mullet phone.
which end is the business and which end is the party?
I would say the party's definitely around the back on the E-Ink display. I mean, that's when you look at it from the front, it's just an Android phone. It kind of looks a bit like the old Galaxy Nexus S kind of design. Everything happens on the back, so they've got a lot of custom software stuff going on the back. So they've got like widgets and panes and things like this. And obviously the big draw to the E-Ink is that the display doesn't draw power unless it's refreshing. So
they're talking about it using 7 times less power than.
Yeah, I think they were saying that you could run the phone for like anywhere between like 8 and 15 days or something, I think, just purely off the E-Ink display.
How does it work when you switch it over to E-Ink? When you flip it, does it just do it automatically? Is there a switch?
Yeah, so imagine this. You've got you swipe up for Google now, and on that same menu, there's a button that will mirror this. You know, if you want to just mirror the display, you slide it across to the left and then flip it around to the back, and the front of the phone will be mirrored to the back, so you'll be looking at a very grainy but a perfect representation of the Google Now launcher, which is the stock launcher as well. So, and from there, you can just operate like any old Android phone. You can swipe through the screens, you can open apps. Any of the apps that run on the phone will mirror to the back. So you literally can use the entire phone without ever using the LCD display.
Now, does it have, I don't know what word, I don't want to make anybody angry about older devices that use E-Ink. Is it good? Does it have a nice piece of glass on the front? Is it responsive? I mean, or is it just kind of there?
So I don't know whether it was just the show lighting or not, but around the front, it was kind of reflect, you know, there was a lot of reflections going on. So, I mean, I don't think the, you know, the LCD display on the front, for example, is going to be the, you know, the best that we've ever seen. But in terms of the e-ink display, it's really, really nice. I mean, I've had a couple of like e-readers and stuff over years, and and yeah, to look at it, obviously it's going to look like it lags compared to a regular display, but compared to something like a Kindle, man, that thing is fast. The refresh rates are so good on it. They've done a really, really good job with that.
That's the name I didn't want to say to make anybody angry, but yeah, that's, so it's not like the Kindle. It actually feels responsive, as responsive as e-ink can be.
Yeah, it's perfectly usable. I mean, while I wouldn't recommend anybody watches a YouTube video in an e-ink display, but they did show that it can do it. It wasn't quite as bad as you might expect, considering the refresh rates of e-ink. But you know, it was watchable. And you know, you can slide through the screens, and yeah, you do see it pop in and pop out as it refreshes. But it is really, really quick in doing it. So I mean, from that end alone, they've done a really good job with it.
So what's the e-ink display doing in standby? Does it have like widgets that sit on it all the time until you decide to refresh it, or like what is it? Is it just sitting there?
Because of the technology and the fact that you can just leave something on the display and it won't draw any power. You can tell it what you want on it. So they've got a bunch of different sort of panels that you can customize with weather and clocks and, you know, even app integration with things like Twitter, and you know, so there'll be like cards that can sit there permanently. So, you know, if you just want to have like a big clock and a big weather widget on the back of the phone, so that you know every time you want to look at the weather, you don't have to open the phone and turn it up. You just pull it out of your pocket and you know, see what time it is. You can have something like that. But they've also got like I forget what they're calling it, but it's like basically like using it like a picture frame to cover up any personal information. Because obviously you can have things like your email and stuff like that glued to the back of the phone as well, and not necessarily. You obviously don't necessarily want this to kind of on the back of your. On the back of your handset while you're holding it, making a phone call, so you can put like a screensaver over it as well, and tons and tons of like customizable stuff. And like I said, they've got app partners as well to have proper integration with that stuff, rather than just you can mirror the Twitter app. Well, Twitter's actually integrated into what they're doing on the panels on the back.
So here's a question, since Andrew's fan club has been all over him today about the Note Edge for some reason.
Oh my goodness. fan club now?
Is this more or less gimmicky than the curved edge on the Note Edge? Or I'm trying to think of some other weird display type. Or, you know, for that matter, I guess we can throw the Moto X into that, although I think we all pretty much agree active display, is pretty damn awesome. I mean, so is this in the same sort of, all right, it's gimmicky, whatever, but it actually works? Is it gimmicky and you might actually want to use it? And gimmicks in and of themselves aren't necessarily bad.
No, I mean, there is an element of gimmick about it. I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at it front on, it just looks like any other Android phone. Yeah, it's running, you know, it's running KitKat and the Google Now launcher, and there's no kind of, you know, crapware or whatever you want to call it on top. There's no bloat, and you know, it's just Android, but it doesn't stand out. Whereas it, obviously, you know, you flip it around on the back, so there is an element to like, oh, well, this is interesting. You know, it's new, and my biggest thing with it is not the what you do with it or how you could use it, because there are tons of useful things you could do with it. So like, you know, like boarding cards, and I mean, we're all at the airport, you're busy. One of those little things, you can pin your boarding card to the back of the phone. You've got it there right when you need it all the way through the airport. It doesn't disappear. It's just there all the time. Reading. I would actually prefer if it was a little bit bigger to do kind of reading and stuff on. But it's the price that's the issue.
What is it, £700?
It's £555 or €700.
Right.
So that's going to equate to about $700 when it comes to the US, I would assume.
And it's a lot. I mean, it's more expensive than the cheapest iPhone. And yeah, nerds will look at the spec list and say, well, it's running last year's chip and yada, yada, yada. But kind of people going into the store won't necessarily care about that. It works and it works fine. There's no evidence of any kind of, you know, laggy, horrible behavior from what we've seen. It's just too expensive. It's cost more than an iPhone, and that's a tough sell at the best of times, especially when you're a, you know, you're still a new brand.
That's, by the way, $860 if it's apples to apples once it gets released here.
Now, price aside, Richard hit something that I find interesting. We're talking about the gimmick factor. To me, this sounds like it's a whole lot more gimmicky than the Note Edge. But he said, like, he used Twitter as an example. Twitter has actually integrated their app into this gimmick, whereas Samsung forged ahead and integrated their own stuff in and either didn't court other companies or other companies weren't interested. And I think that's a big deciding factor here, which is more gimmicky than the other. And that's not fair, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and it's also kind of the start of the story, because a big part of the Note Edge is being able to use the SDK for that, and that was a big part of the Samsung Developer Conference.
Yep.
But again, and I was thinking about that today, you know, I've heard that from Samsung before. We heard it, you know, back when the Continuum was out. Now, vastly different ecosystem today than it was three, four years ago. You really can't compare the two, but still.
You can compare the S Pen to the Edge display. The S Pen, I don't understand why every application developer isn't rushing to include S Pen features, like, you know, like the built-in Samsung ones. In my app, you can highlight an area and it will automatically save it as a clip.
And multi-window.
Yeah. And just application development for the Android and Tizen watches as well. I mean, you go look in the Samsung App Store for apps to run on your Gear watch, and the store is just barren. It's completely barren.
I don't understand why. From what I've seen, Samsung makes it as easy as it can be, and they're there with plenty of support. So I don't understand why we haven't seen it explode yet.
Well, and I mean,
it's obviously because people don't understand larger phones.
We should hire somebody.
It also feels like it's not a good direct comparison to talk about the Yota phone and the Note Edge. I mean, the form factor, part of my issue, you could say a majority of the issue with the Note Edge is the form factor and the fact that having vertical scrolling information on a little sliver of your phone is not worth the extra width and awkwardness of holding a phone. Whereas the Yota phone, it has its own usability issues with flipping it over and things like that. But the fact that the e-ink display is on back, correct me if I'm wrong, Richard, but it seems like it doesn't affect the experience on the other side of the phone.
No, because I mean, at the end of the day, you're only using, I mean, if the e-ink display is on, the e-ink display is on, but if when you're using that, you're not using the one around the front, so it's off. And it, all it is just, it's just like holding a phone. It's, you know, the way it's designed, it kind of, it curves the other way. So obviously when you're holding it and you're using the regular display, the back is kind of curved and it fits in the hand. So it's a little bit different, you know, it feels different, but it's just, it's just like using a black and white phone.
And it's all kind of moot anyway, right? I mean,
yeah, unfortunately.
Outside of our little circle here, ain't nobody going to be buying it.
Jeez,
not in any real circle. Yeah.
And that's a shame. I agree both this and we've been talking about the Note Edge. Yeah, they're probably not something that a lot of people want, but I love to see companies try stuff like this because the next version will be better. And it'll continue to get better until it is something that everybody's going to want. And if nobody buys them, that doesn't give them any incentive to keep trying. Look at the Continuum. I thought that was a great idea. I loved that idea. And it died. Poor Jerry.
I'm sure we could round up Continuum for you if you want.
Can you even buy one? Let me see if I can find one.
You have to run it on Verizon.
If you can find a GSM Continuum, I will buy it.
I don't think it exists.
I don't think that ever happened. What was it? Samsung Continuum. Come on, Amazon. Come on. Ooh. $27 used. I should get one.
Yes, you should.
Should I do it right now?
Yes. And then you can you can have some woodworker friend build a little display plaque for it.
Put on a slowly rotating pedestal for buying dinner.
Right.
No,
you can't just buy those. You have to special build them.
I'm going to buy it and send it to Andrew.
Oh, just what I need.
You can do a comparison.
I will. Node Edge versus Continuum. Which one should you buy? Oh, man. That would actually be pretty hilarious.
I don't even remember how small that display was.
It's those were small.
The thing was that it was just painted over on the bottom.
Yeah.
So. I love this. I'm looking at this picture here on Amazon. The best part is it's the lock screen. I don't even remember what version of Android it was, but there's the date and the clock on the lock screen, and then there's the date and the clock on the secondary display right below it, and there's the date, or there's the not the date but the clock up in the nav bar.
Actually, it was probably Froyo, because it came out at the same time as the original Galaxy S, right? Because the same. Oh, oof.
June 21st, 2013 is the date on it. Yeah, I mean, I'm all about gimmicky stuff. I think it's fun. I still love seeing manufacturers try different things because, yep. I mean, in this job, after a while, it all kind of looks the same. So when somebody does something different, you get a little excited about it, even if it's silly.
Well, and the cool thing about the Node Edge was they're actually launching this on all four carriers in the U.S. They're, like, making a big deal out of it. It's available everywhere. It's not one of these things like the Galaxy Round, mm-hmm. where it was like, okay, one carrier in Korea is going to carry this, and then we're all just going to forget about it.
The Node Edge is a big deal. I you know, and I went back and I read your review again today, because people are still complaining that you don't get it. I don't disagree with anything you said. I think there are going to be a lot of people that still really like that phone, and I was standing next to somebody at the Samsung DevCon party. I thought the video controls on it were awesome. You know, and being able to take pictures and not have your thumb covering up what it is you're trying to shoot, that's great. But I completely agree with the physical aspects of it, and having right. that edge just on one side. And, you know, I'm not saying I want it on two, but there are, you know, things about it that won't work for a lot of people.
And, well, and the biggest thing was it wasn't really solving any problems that the Note 4 had. It's just an extra thing on the side of the Note 4, and I really love the Note 4. That's, mm-hmm. that's the craziest thing about it, and I tried to make that as clear as possible, too.
Well, one day you'll understand it. It'll be okay.
I will. Yeah,
one day I'll just get it.
I don't understand it either, Andrew. Don't worry about it.
I want a 360-degree display on both edges, and the back is e-ink. that's what I want.
All Jerry, display, it's all like one of those tickers just going round.
A sphere.
Round.
A Nexus Q that is a round display, but on the bottom where it's flat is e-ink.
What's really cool, and if you ever get a chance to see it, I highly recommend it. I mean, this goes back to LG and the G-Flex. When I went to their meetings with them with that, they had one all ripped apart. And, you know, the display, and I'm trying to remember if it was running. I think it was.
The ribbon cable sticking off the end.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you can sit there and you can bend the display. It was cool as hell. I love this idea, and I'd love to see them trying things.
Oh, and especially when you look at how tight the curve is on the Note Edge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there and just goes right over the edge, and it's all one piece. It's a technological advancement, if anything.
That's very cool. Speaking of the Note Edge, speaking of the G Flex, by the way, I saw some headlines this week saying that the G Flex 2 is coming in CES. I have heard nothing official.
I saw you can buy an original G Flex for like $240 on eBay today.
I guess I better grab one, actually.
You know, that wasn't a bad phone. I was the one that got stuck, air quotes, reviewing it.
I ended up
liking it.
They still sell them in T-Mobile stores.
The display was just not good. That was
but
and neither was the price.
It was not horrible.
It just but when you have, I mean, you had the G2 available at the same time with a really good display.
Yeah. Go ahead and crush my dreams, both of you.
I think it was like £649 here for the G Flex. That's ridiculous.
But it flexed.
I mean, in the flexy part, wasn't even the big thing. The big thing was really the tech of the flexible display, and the self-healing back was the other one they talked a lot about. Now, of course, the one purposeful scratch I put on it didn't come out, but that was kind of the big thing. I don't know.
Is that why you wouldn't let me drive my 7,000-pound Jeep over the review unit?
Yes.
If you buy one, can I drive my Jeep over it?
We'll see.
All right.
No, I don't know. I mean, do we need another one? Maybe.
No, but
if LG does do another one and puts it on carriers in the US, it can't be on AT&T. You just can't do these weird phones on one carrier only. That's the other thing
right.
that 4 has going for it, right? You can't just bury it on AT&T. And I'm sorry, AT&T, but that's the way it works. It's not, ooh, AT&T has this special phone. It's, the hell is that on AT&T?
Right. There's enough complaints if it's only on 3 of the 4 major carriers, you know, let alone just being on one.
Yeah.
That's right. A phone will never be a success on a single carrier.
Stop it.
Okay.
Well, look, no, a phone under the...
It can't be a gimmick and on one carrier.
Yeah.
I know what he meant. My purpose is to give Phil a hard time.
No. We'll act as if you didn't know what he meant.
I had no clue.
Fine. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will start going through some Q&A. So we'll give you a minute to get questions in. Go, 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 go! All right, it's that time of year again when we're all stressing, trying to find gifts for friends and family and other loved ones. Or maybe, say, people with exquisite beards, if you know anybody like that. Or maybe people who just want to keep their beards at bay. Well, perhaps it's time to consider, I don't know, some quality shaving equipment from Harry's.com. If you've yet to check out Harry's, that's H-A-R-R-Y-S, it's time to do so. And the premise is simple. Top-notch razors and blades and cream delivered straight to your mailbox. How much easier does it get than that? It doesn't. It's easy. And what's more is that you get it for far less than what you pay at the drugstore. Harry's has a limited edition line available just in time for the holidays, and shipping is always free. Again, it's a no-brainer, guys, especially with as crazy as traffic is out there right now. Just have this stuff delivered to you. It's perfect. And as a special holiday offer, Harry's is giving all of our listeners an extra $5 off the excellent Winter Winston set. Just use the code ACHOLIDAY at checkout. That's $5 off a razor, 3 blades, and your choice of shave cream, that's my favorite, or the foaming shave gel. Again, just use code ACHOLIDAY at checkout at harrys.com. Your face will thank you, or someone else's face will thank you. Either way, I'll thank you. That's ACHOLIDAY at checkout at harrys.com.
Did I hear a cat? I don't know. It could be anything. Maybe I've got the noise-canceling headphones on.
You gotta feed them both.
Every day.
Alright, let's do some Q&A. Where you guys, should we just start at the top?
And start wherever you want.
We'll just start at the top. I'm not even going to read them first. Most of the time I at least glance at them. So make your question good, or make it bad if you want to screw with this. Anthony asks, do you think that Google will ever move to a system in Google Play where you can rent a movie, and then if you decide you like it, you can purchase it for only the remainder of the cost to purchase? So the purchase of the cost, you know, the purchase cost minus the rental cost. That's a good idea.
But it won't happen.
No.
Because they want you to rent it and buy it for the full price.
You have this gigantic evil monster that lives in Hollywood, and it's not going to allow Google to ever do anything like that, even if somebody at Google would think
of
it.
I mean, the movie companies have long had the ability to say, oh, turn in the stub from your movie ticket and get $5 off your purchase. Yep. And that never happened. So they want you to pay to find out if you like it and then pay more if you like it.
You
want to
hear something really awful? So a couple weeks ago, the Lego movie finally came out on HBO, and we went and watched it in the theater. I thought it was great. Kids loved it. But I think we have some friends over that night, or maybe I wanted to watch football that night, or I forget what was going on. So I stashed my kids in my bedroom, and I had a Chromecast in the bedroom. I was like, all right, I'll just buy the Lego movie because they're going to watch it anyway. I bought the Lego movie, like, that's what it was. I wanted them to try to get to bed early. So, like, I started it half an hour early. I buy it half an hour before it's going to come out on HBO. And then Chromecast was just worked that night. I couldn't get it to work. So then we had to wait, and then they watched it after. I mean, look, we've watched it a million times since then, but it was kind of crazy. Anyway, no. Anthony wants to know, can Richard move his head a little more so that it looks like he is a chef? Oh, how about that?
I'm not sure I understand the correlation there.
You see the hat?
The hat above my head.
Oh! Oh, who asked
me? Can't be unseen.
That person is a genius.
Everybody listen to the audio version. See, this is why you got to come watch the video.
If you're listening to the audio version, Richard has this giant chef's hat attached to his ceiling.
That's pretty cool. Anthony also asks, do you think the LG G Pad 7 will get an update to Lollipop, or at least an update that will enable the tablet to use Chromecast without crashing the UI, forcing restart, or disconnecting from Wi-Fi?
Is this your first LG device?
No.
The new G Pad issue. had the same Chromecast issue on my G3. And
really?
It got fixed somehow. I don't know how or when, but it fixed.
I think the new G pads are not going to get the love that they deserve, probably.
Maybe. This is a different LG. I made a horrible joke a minute ago, but.
But LG, the G pad, the new G pads are low end and kind of.
I don't know.
The 8.3 was really good. That was a very underrated tablet, I thought.
The GPE one was nice.
Mm-hmm.
The new ones aren't as nice as that, but, I mean, they're okay. They're priced right. They're not bad little tablets.
Ryan has a question that I don't really want to answer, but I actually have a good answer to it, so we'll bring it up. What do you think of the Cyanogen OnePlus saga? Based on their history, it doesn't seem like either of them is ready to be a real company just yet. I don't know that I'd go that far. Look,
whew.
Companies do dumb things all the time. I do dumb things all the time. I thought Russell Holley had a really good answer to that on Google Plus, and that was basically, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and OnePlus has, you know, made no secret of saying stupid things publicly.
You're wrong. You need to pick a side and then hate the other side unconditionally and troll constantly about it.
Look, and I might have just bought another OnePlus One to give away sometime soon, because it is that kind, you know, that time of the year. No, I'm not going to lose sleep over either one of them. And frankly, it's got an unlocked bootloader. If you're buying a OnePlus One, chances are you know what to do with it. Or you should, I think. Same thing with Nexus phones, by the way. That's how I feel about them. Exactly the same. If you can unlock the bootloader, then you should be able to.
Well, and just because a Nexus phone comes from a big company doesn't mean that they're not going to screw things up too.
Qualcomm.
Ouch. Where are we in the Nexus front? Let's talk about that, I guess. Android 5.0.1 is out. It's been pushed to AOSP. We've got it on, the Nexus 7 and the Nexus 9?
Nexus 10.
The Wi-Fi only model. Right. That's important.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the M8 and M7 went straight to 5.0.1. But the GPEs.
I was talking with somebody this morning. We need to remember that's not open source.
Right.
There's some other stuff in there, and that's probably the difference. There's probably just some licensing issues that need ironed out before it comes to phones.
And that's always the case, yeah. Right?
And I could be wrong. There could be some bug that makes things catch fire, but I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I mean, this is all really bug fix, right? I mean, what do we see, telephony stuff in there? Or
yeah, there's a memory allocation fixes, a lot of those. There's no one thing you can point at and say, this is why they updated, because Phil and I looked through it all. But it's man, when did we ever get a Nexus update that this didn't happen? I'll bet 5.0.2 is already in the works, and we'll see it before too much longer. That's just how it works.
We got a lot more people who own these things now.
I know, but it doesn't change how it works.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back, because I remember the early days of the Nexus 4 being a little rough.
Dude, do you remember the Nexus S?
No, not really.
There was like 15 different gingerbread versions for that phone just to get all the bugs fixed. That's how this works. I don't like it, but that's how it works.
I remember we made a big point about holding feet to the fire if we get things quickly but bad.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're going to do it as well as we should.
I'm one of the guys... I want it quick, even if it's bad. But then again, I have a spare phone. I understand both sides of the issue. And if you haven't got the update that you think you really, really want, maybe there's a real good reason.
All right. Well, I'll ask this question openly because I keep forgetting to ask you guys offline. Do we need to do something teaching people how to flashback to KitKat, or should they already know how to do it on a Nexus?
You just do it the same way. You just pick a different image.
I know that. Like, should we advocate that? Yeah.
I don't think we should.
But. No, because that may not fix everything. I mean, I've been, you told me, Jerry, find out what people can do to make their Nexus better when they've got all these bugs. So I've been looking at that for a while, and, dude, it's like a crapshoot. I swear, what works for one guy doesn't work for another. What you think should never work actually makes a difference. There are some bugs, And I'm going to go on record and say there's some serious bugs, especially for some older devices. And let's hope that 5.0.1 has fixed some of them. And that's what I'm looking at now. These people that had serious issues, did you upgrade? Did it help anything? I don't want to tell you to go back to KitKat, but if it's your Nexus 5 and it doesn't work, if you can't send text messages, I understand why you need to go back to KitKat.
Fair enough. Oh, you want to see my new toy? This is what I worked on today when I wasn't working on fun stuff. So I finally got the official Moto 360 steel bracelet.
I thought you were going to show us the hammer. I swear that's what I thought you were going to
get the hammer
for your new toy.
$6 hammer.
By Grapthar's. No. if anyone gets that joke, I'm sorry.
How far away is that hammer?
I want to call Phil Thor every time I see him. That little hammer.
Yeah, no. So I got the official steel bracelet for the 360, and it's weird how I've suddenly become a watch nerd. I think Jerry's right. I think leather is better on the Moto 360 now. Honestly, dude. As much as, and I like steel bracelets more than I like leather. It's humid down here. I like the feel of cold metal on my skin. Please, sir, Richard's trying to keep together over there.
People that are listening, and if you're listening to this when it's recorded, if you kept the leather strap on your 360, go ahead and tweet Phil and tell him how nice it has worn and how soft it feels now.
I don't know if I want to put it back on, but
I just want him to bother you on Twitter.
Oh, it's no bother. It feels nice. I'm not crazy about the clasp. The clasp is here in the middle. And
yeah.
Dare you call it a butterfly? And that makes sense. So
butterfly
deployment. They both fold in on each other so that, you know, it almost looks seamless from the back. I get that. But it's kind of a pain to put on and off. I mean, it's not that hard. But, you know, comparatively speaking. Really not crazy about the way it meets the body. It's still just kind of, it doesn't look as good. It just doesn't.
Dude, that makes me twitch when I see that.
It's disappointing.
I wanted better from the official band. I wanted better than that.
Now, I will say the metal is, you know, it's much heavier and a lot nicer than the pebble steel bracelet that I was using on it before. But, man, I tell you, I would almost say don't spend the extra $60 to get the official one. And, I think I've showed this before. Let me get it. Hang on. It's charging back here. Because I forgot to charge it last night. The Zen Watch, I got, you know, like another $80 bracelet, and I really like it on there. It's heavy. It actually fits. Let me pull it out of the charger. Fits on the lugs, you know, a little nicer. And I like that bracelet a lot. It's, you know, it's just different. You see them side by side. So I don't know. If you're on the fence.
I'm still not sold by metal on any of the Android Wear watches, to be honest. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's just because they seem quite large or not. But
I've got several old school watches. I kind of like them and collect them. I've always found that you never get the fit you want from a replacement metal band like you did the metal band that was designed for the watch itself. That's why I had really high hopes for the Moto metal bands. Then when Phil shows me the way they connect at the body, it does leave a little bit to be desired.
Yeah. Not crazy about it. I still got to get the Zen Watch review done, by the way. Which is unfortunate for me. It's a nice watch. I like it. I don't know if I like it more than the 360.
We still can't buy them.
I was just shocked at how big the Zen Watch was. The original pictures I saw made it feel smaller.
It's not some. Yeah, I mean, here it is on my wrist. It's not tiny.
Right.
But I don't think it's huge.
I have no problem with big watches. It was on the model's hands in Berlin. It looked smaller.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how they. Yeah, you know, a lot of it's perspective. Yeah. It's just, like, it's really close, and it's a really nice watch, don't get me wrong. But yeah.
My wife told me I could order one and I didn't, and now it's sold out. Go ahead, laugh at me. Crush more dreams.
Sorry.
I can't buy one, Jerry, so.
Yeah, how'd that happen? Ah, oh, damn it, here come the tweets.
Google must be doing something.
Thank you, Mr. Digglesworth.
Nice Twitter handle, too.
What else is going on? What else we want to talk about?
I've spent a little bit of time with that Nexus 9 Folio keyboard, Folio cover keyboard thingy.
It looks like it's just a ridiculous compromise like every other small tablet keyboard.
It is. It's
wrong side of the compromise.
I think what saves it for, and I'll be honest with you, none of us here, except for maybe Phil, have any use buying this. And I'm sorry. We don't need it. You're not going to sit down and write the next great American novel, or you're not even going to write a 500-word accessory review because you're going to go insane before you do that. You're going to want to break it, and you're going to just hate it.
Now, I wrote a 1,000-word accessory review of a keyboard for the Nexus 7.
And
now
did you hate it?
Now you know how I felt, but think about what you're feeling, but worse.
But there are people who they'll be on a plane somewhere and, oh, I've got to do this spreadsheet, and they need to do a few things. You don't want to do that on an on-screen keyboard. So I can see why this was made, and there are people out there who would actually find it useful. But for $140, it's a tiny, cramped keyboard that ergonomically, every time you try to hit the space bar, instead you hit the edge of the keyboard and nothing happens. When you try to hit the number row, you hit the screen of the Nexus 9, and I just happen to gravitate right to the task switching button. So every time I try to type a 7, 8, 9, or 0, I lose what I'm working on, and it goes to the cards view, and it's very frustrating.
It was already frustrating enough on 10-inch tablets that had third-party keyboards, and this is 9.
Some of it is very much just the size of the thing. We've got a Logitech, one of those Logitech, the same sort of thing from Logitech on an iPad 2 at home that my wife uses. And actually, she didn't even use the keyboard that much. But because the tablet's just that much bigger, it really makes a difference. So some of that's not going to change.
And the Logitech one for the Galaxy Tab S 10.5 was pretty well spaced out as well, because you just have more physical room to work.
I looked at that one, I think. It's been a while. I think so. But and that's the key. It's a little bit less cramped, and that's all you need is just a little bit more room. And unless you make the case bigger than the tablet, you're not going to be able to do it.
Right, because I have a 11-inch Chromebook that has a nice keyboard with room to spare. But you know, when you go down to 9 inches, it's too little.
So I hate to pan the thing because it works as intended. It's very easy to use, and for people that actually have a need for it, it's probably a good product. For the rest of us, it's expensive and it's a little frustrating to use if you don't really have to. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I wouldn't buy it, but if you need it, you need it.
I want the Magic cover. That's what I'm waiting for. I just need something to cover it.
Right, and to have this to primarily use as a cover is super, super overkill.
And Phil can tell you, it's built really well. Mm-hmm. HTC and whoever else was involved, they did a great job. It attaches easy. I love the fact that as long as everything's turned on, you just touch it and it works. You didn't have to enter any codes or do anything special. So there's no real reason to pan it other than it's a little small because by design it has to be.
Sure. Let's take one more break. We come back, do some more Q&A. Maybe close it out. What do you say?
I say it's a good idea.
Absolutely.
I was trying to think of something witty and couldn't.
All right, it's time to talk about lynda.com. That's lynda.com, of course, and it's our favorite way to get good quality instructional content fast. Or as I like to put it, just learn all the things. With Lynda, you can instantly stream thousands of courses created by experts on software, web development, photography, graphic design, waffle making, okay, maybe not that last one, but I wouldn't put it past him because Linda works directly with industry experts and software companies to provide timely training. So new courses are added daily, often right as new versions of software hitting the market, so you're always up to speed. And all of Linda's courses are high quality, not just some darkly lit basement or a blogger in an office who looks like me. And courses are broken into bite-sized pieces so you can learn at your own pace. They're good for beginners, again, like me, to more advanced folks out there, like some of you. Recently, I decided that I needed to get better using Compressor for video editing, so I went straight to Linda. And 10 minutes later, I pretty much knew everything I needed to know to get things going, and I'm pretty comfortable with it now. And you can't beat the price. Just $25 a month gets you unlimited access to more than 100,000 video tutorials. With the premium plan, you can download courses to your phone or tablet for offline viewing, as well as get project files to practice along with the instructor. We've worked out a special deal with Linda so that you can try all their courses free for 7 days. Just go to lynda.com, that's lynda.com/AndroidCentral to get a free week. lynda.com/AndroidCentral. Go learn all the things. Oh, you guys are killing me. Well, now you can say something.
Something?
No. All right, let's do some more Q&A. What do you say?
Okay.
Ryan wants to know, can you disable the OK Google? Everybody's phones just light up.
I have headphones on.
Not you guys. I'm worried about the listeners. Can you disable OK Google? Did it again. Hot word detection on Android Wear, or can you train Android Wear to only recognize your voice like Moto Voice? That's a good question. I haven't noticed that if I just say OK Google, it fires up. It just went right there.
I mean, the watch has to be lifted up and activated as well, too.
And even that's kind of a crapshoot. So
yeah, I still kind of feel like I need to get it closer to my mouth to, you know, intently speak at my wrist rather than it just being there.
Good question from Steve. When a major upgrade comes out like Android 5.0, do you recommend a factory reset to clean the system out? Yes. Yes. Say it, Jerry. Yes.
Yeah, because it's the way it's done is busted usually. Yeah, you shouldn't have to.
I mean, it's just cleaner.
You shouldn't have to. There should be a big, huge script that goes through your system and deletes the things that need deleted out of cache and your data, but preserves the things you want. But nobody does that. Nobody, not even the people in Cupertino, nobody does it. That's why you have a lot of people with issues if they don't wipe their device first.
Tony on Twitter says, my 360 leather band feels like the soft, tender flesh of a lady llama.
And he's right. He put that so eloquently, now I'm going to dream of llamas.
I didn't know it was llama leather.
Wow. Can we get an alpaca band?
I have a question from the Q&A here.
Sure, which one?
Man, this Cesar
Villanueva. Villanueva, come on, man.
Villanueva.
Villanueva would be correct, Phil.
Well, remember where I'm from.
Does the Moto X reply always with opening Google? Oh, see, it disappeared because you hit select. Now I don't know where it went.
The top?
No, it's not there for
Does
me.
Does Moto X always reply with opening Google before answering any OK Google or whatever word one chooses? A Moto X rebate and Nexus 6 on the way. I'm thinking getting the Moto X and returning the Nexus 6, but that would be a deal killer for me.
It's annoying, and it started doing it again after they updated Google search.
Explain exactly what it is you're talking about.
So when you say, okay, Moto X, what's the weather like today, or whatever.
Whose phone was that? I heard that.
Well, this one's mine.
Oh, okay.
But whenever you give it a voice command that's going to lead to a Google search, it'll say opening Google because it opens the Google search app and passes along the voice information and it searches. But it actually says out loud, opening Google. And that's really
okay. Annoying. I see. Because it's still working in the background when it's doing that. I thought everybody was upset that it takes an extra step.
No, it always takes the extra step.
I see people were upset that it actually says that out loud.
Because we know that it's opening Google. We can see it's opening Google.
I see. And I can't.
Even if we were hands-free, it doesn't matter. I don't care what it opens. I just want it to speak the information back to me.
I do not disagree now.
And so they updated the Google search app to make it say opening Google, and then everybody freaked out, and they pushed another update that removed it, and it was actually in the change log, removed opening Google phrase, and now it's back again.
Well, now they have something
before
Christmas. They can remove that.
I'm not 100% sure, but I kind of think that something isn't quite right on the drive functionality too, because I could swear it used to be I get a call in the car and the drive thing was on and I'd answer the call, but I can still hear it like listening to me in the background waiting for me to say it's really weird.
I mean, I honestly don't use the voice actions all that often. I mean, I just pick up the phone and it's easier to just, you know, manipulate it with touch. But for the times that I do it, it's just an unnecessary thing. I mean, I'd be fine with it saying opening Google once, but after that, it's unnecessary.
You know, as they transition to a new version of their stuff for a new version of the phone and Lollipop, you're going to see some bugs like this.
Truth.
I am a Motorola fan, but Phil knows and everybody here knows, I would hold the pitchfork to their throats just as soon as anybody else if they really screwed something up. But this kind of stuff, you're just going to have it because there's so many changes at once. Hopefully they get it fixed quickly.
It's not because they did it too quick?
You know, I don't... Yes and no. I mean, would you hold back an update if everything worked, but there was this little annoyance that's not even a bug? Everything still works as intended. It just says opening Google out loud, and some people don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is that you have Motorola's voice commands, Motorola software, and then you have Android, and you have an app that's updated regularly in the Play Store that changes things that's out of Motorola's control. I mean, Google updating the Google search app is completely out of control of what Motorola did with its firmware.
And they'll just have to get back together. They did once before. I'm confident that they will again. I just hope they do it very shortly.
So it's a long way of saying that it might be fixed.
Fair enough. Dennis asks, I'm really liking the LG G3. Will I be missing performance, battery life, and camera quality compared to the Note 4? I might switch back to the G3 for a while.
I don't think the G3 had problems with battery life or camera compared to the Note 4.
I think it's a better camera
than the Note 4.
What you will be missing is those back buttons.
True.
Once you get used to those things, even my little Z3 Compact, I find myself pushing on the back.
Monsters.
Here's one I've been thinking about a little bit. Trevin asks, any tips for new Nexus Player owners? Not really.
There are Nexus Player owners?
Well, there are at least two of us now. What's manage your expectations, player? I think. I was thinking about it this week because I still don't know if I could recommend it over the Fire TV for like a normal person. What?
I think, where is the stuff that you bought? Is it in Google or is it at Amazon?
Well, yeah, there's
that's
that.
That's the only thing that you need to think about because they both do the same very basic, very boring things.
And I moved out of the way so you can not see it. It does what it does very well. I'm a little disappointed by a lot of the games that are in this still.
Try Radiant Defense. You and the kids will love that.
Yeah, I think I bought that too. I like playing Asphalt a lot with it. I've been doing that, even though it's still such a money-grubbing net purchase. Oh, it's so bad.
I recall a podcast a few weeks ago where you said you were completely done playing that because of that. But maybe
while we were watching him play it, he was telling us that he was never going to play it again.
It's one of those things I can do without having to think.
So my big thing that Phil brought up as a good point is for normal people versus people watching this podcast, I mean, a normal people, I think even a lot of Android users, majority of Android users, still don't have their media lock-in tied to Google Play.
Yeah.
Their media lock-in is still tied to iTunes or it's still tied to Amazon. And for that reason, you know, maybe, I mean, I try to use Google Play as much as possible. I use Google Play Music. We rent movies and things like that. But Netflix still happens for TV shows and, you know, Amazon Prime still happens for some things too. And for a lot of people, you know, the Fire TV can do those things. Mm-hmm. Losing Google Play is probably a smaller deal than losing Amazon for a lot of people.
For most people, yeah.
If you have the HDMI ports, I would probably say Fire TV and a Chromecast.
Yeah, that's a good combo. Fire TV stick and a Chromecast.
Now we say this. I know somebody who was a big Google TV fan, and they started with the review. They do have a lot in Google Play Music, movies, and TV. They've got a lot of stuff that they've bought. stuff that Google has given them. For that person, the Nexus Player is a no-brainer. It's $99. It's way better than anything you've used before. It's different than the Chromecast. I don't want to say it's better. It's very different. And it's $99.
There's also all your Chromecast movies. Itself.
Right. There's all your movies in one place. It's very easy to use. It's very polished, and it's very well done.
And it's still very early. I don't think this is going to, you know, die in the vine.
First Android TV device.
I'd like to see more. I absolutely want to see it. You know, maybe I'll do I more, but...
I want to see it expanded into some sort of hub for Android in the living room that Google has been promising us for 5 years.
I don't necessarily want to get my email on it, but I got to think about that some more.
Well, I want to be able to take my phone and control my light switches and set up my burglar alarm and all these other things that Google has been talking about. You know, could this be the build out for that if you've already got a big Android device in your living room?
Dustin has an interesting question along those lines. With the Android player out now as a reference device with Nexus Player, as a reference device for Android TV, would you buy a new player device with the Tegra K1? Or would you hang on to this? Kind of depends on what games there are for it, I guess. I mean, I haven't run into any like graphical issues with this, you know, playing Asphalt, playing Fortune.
Indicating that will future support come quicker to Intel devices than Tegra devices.
Maybe.
I'm the opposite. I think that the reason this is Intel is so support comes to them at all. Intel and Google have worked fairly well on Chromebooks, but Android devices, it seemed like Intel was always a little bit behind, and they had to do their own thing just to try to stay caught up. Now with a device like this, Google will work a little closer with Intel and they'll stay in play rather than jump forward. But I'm with Phil. Asphalt, I don't know what game you're going to play on that little box that's more graphically intense than Asphalt. And it does just fine. I don't see the need for better on the processor right now. There's a lot of other things I'd fix, but probably not.
And you know, Riptide like as well.
And storage.
Yes, Riptide, and Riptide's the one I play because I don't like that pay-to-play crap that Phil does. And Riptide is fine. You know, every once in a while you'll see a little tear somewhere, but I'll be honest, even on my, you know, Shield tablets, sometimes I see a tear in the background. It just happens.
Domenico says, there's a difference between e-ink and e-paper. Does it annoy you when other tech blogs use the two interchangeably? No. Because
there are other tech blogs?
I'd probably do it too.
Sorry. I don't let other tech blogs annoy me. Those guys are working for a living and doing their best. They made a mistake. I probably made 100 today.
Look, there absolutely is a difference. The difference between Pebble and a Kindle. Will most people notice? Probably not. But I get that there's a difference. And I hate using those terms anyway, because nobody knows what they mean outside of us, you know? So, anyway.
Now, if somebody else is trying to interchange terms to confuse you, then that would bother me. But they're not. It's just a mistake.
All right, one more. Then I'm going to call it.
Is it true that the 2012 Nexus 7 will no longer receive updates? That's Joe Babcock asked that. Has Google said this?
I don't think so.
I think they explicitly said it will get updates.
I, as far as I know, it's 18 months. And that's the only word we've heard from Google is they will promise to support devices for 18 months. If it's been 18 months and it never gets an update again, we can't act surprised. But I don't think Google ever said that it will never see them.
My 2012 hasn't gotten Lollipop yet. But...
My 2012 doesn't hold a charge anymore. I wore the battery out.
I have two that are dead and disposed of.
My eldest daughter is using our 2012 as her tablet now. And she's got God knows what loaded up on it.
Emoji sending machine.
I've got to send her that video.
Yes, you do.
But no, when I and I put a, you know, the last factory image of Lollipop that they provided, and it seems to run okay. I have to leave it plugged in because the battery's dead. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't continue to get updated for the Lollipop platform. Maybe it won't get Android M, but I wouldn't write it off just yet.
Jerry just announced M, everybody.
M is marzipan.
Confirmed.
It is. Who has been right each and every time? I'm telling you, M is marzipan.
All right, I'm holding you to it then.
You hold.
I think that's outside of the scope of many people's dessert knowledge,
including mine. All right, that's it for this week, I think. Because it's Friday, and I will go home.
Sing it. Sing the Friday song.
No.
Oh.
Please, if you want to, you can email us. We're not going to do any emails this week, but you can email us anyway at podcast@androidcentral.com. Find us all on the Twitters and the Google Pluses and the Instagrams and the Facebooks and all that. Just search Android Central or search our names. I feel like there's something else I wanted to talk about, but I don't remember what now. That's okay. Pick it up next week. What else is going on? As we are every week, brought to you by shopandroid.com. Go there, buy things. We're getting some Note 4 stuff in, aren't we?
Yeah, I was supposed to, well, I still will, post a thing on two different screen protectors for the Note 4. I know it's kind of a lame thing, but it's a thing that a lot of people use.
It's an important thing.
It's a very important thing. It's not something that we think about a lot because we don't use many phones for a very, you know, an extended period and want to, you know, keep the screen pristine. We swap phones so often, but geez, $15 to make sure your $700 phone doesn't have a crappy screen after 6 months is a decent investment.
If I had to look at that same screen every day for 2 years, you can bet your bottom dollar I'd do something to keep it from getting scratched.
No doubt.
All right, so with that, we shall return. Thank you all for watching live. Thank everybody for watching later, listening live. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See you next week.
Thank you, Phil.
Toodles.
Bye-bye.